Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What the Hack?, where we share some parenting tips about creative crusts, child coercion, and more. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to episode 239. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
Give us your update. Give us the goods. Give us the tea.
Well, there's good and bad news when it comes to my 1 year and 11 month old Sebastian. The good news is that he's all better after the stomach bug he had last week.
Yay.
Big yay. That was, it lasted longer than we expected. Poor little dude was just up and down. And it was so sad to watch. But he is all better, back to his normal feisty self this week. So I'm so happy to report that. And we actually were planning on keeping him home from school this week anyway because of the holiday. Augie's off school too. And my mom, Neil, and my brother and Erica are all visiting for the holidays.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, super fun. But I'm going to get to that a little bit later. I think I'm going to talk about their visit in our final segment. But in this segment, I wanted to give, I mean, maybe it's not entirely bad news, but it seems like it in the moment with Sebastian. It's that, you know, he's exactly a month away from turning two. And the twos appear to have arrived early, Shauna.
What's he doing?
I mean, okay, so we all know the phrase terrible twos, and then people try to rebrand it as terrific twos or tumultuous twos, or I don't know, I'm sure there's a million different versions of it, right?
Okay, I wasn't aware of this campaign, but I get it. I can see where people are coming from.
People don't want to label kids as terrible, right? And I'm behind that. I don't think they're terrible twos, but I do agree with tumultuous twos because, you know, in my experience with Augie and with my friends' kids, it is the age they start to really come into their own with the having opinions, you know, and the strong opinions about things. And this child, all of a sudden, you know, he's had opinions for a while, but he has been pretty easy to distract, right? Like, so let's say he wants Augie's toy and Augie's playing with it. Most of the time, you can be like, look, a tractor. And he's like, oh, okay, tractors are cool too, right? And he goes on playing. Those days appear to be gone because now he's like, Augie has a toy I want. And Augie's like, I don't want to take turns right now. And instead of being distracted by the cool other toy I'm trying to show him, he, and it's so hard not to laugh because it's like adorably annoyed, right? Like he does this thing where he gets a grimace on his face.
Oh, no.
Corey and I have been laughing so hard about this because when he's been getting mad lately, he squints his eyes really tight. And he, like, puts his teeth together and just, like, opens his mouth and just grimaces.
It sounds cartoonish. It really does. Like how you would animate a cartoon looking mad and frustrated, like
100%. It's like, you know, one of those books where you're trying to teach kids about emotions and they show the mad face. It's like too good. It's like too perfect. So, like this week, one example was that Augie and Sebastian both had raspberries as a snack, right? And Sebastian ate all of his fairly quickly and really wanted Augie's raspberries that Augie had placed on his fingers, right? Like at the tips of his fingers. And, you know, we told him, no, those are Augie's raspberries. We'll get you more. We'll get you more raspberries. But of course, it takes like, you know, 30 seconds to walk to the fridge, rinse off some raspberries, and bring it over. And in the meantime, he just... But yeah, he's starting to like deliberately complain and whine about things, you know, like
if he
isn't getting let into the kitchen, you know, we close the baby gate. He will stand there and just go, aah!
Oh my gosh.
Unfortunately, I don't have any photos or videos of this because I'm too busy trying to be a respectful parent and like not make fun of him. I'm also too busy turning my back and laughing as quietly as possible, you know.
Another hallmark of a respectful parent.
Don't let them see you laugh because you think it's so adorable how angry they are. I'm just like, I know you're angry. But anyway, so that I feel like is a milestone.
Indeed.
We've gotten to the grimace.
Oh, my
my God, the two-year-old grimace.
It's adorable. And Shauna, you may have noticed that I haven't talked about Sebastian's sleep in a while.
I have noticed. That must mean it's all better. It's all perfect. Oh, no.
You are so cute. There are actually two reasons I haven't talked about it. One was because I didn't want to be too repetitive talking about the same thing over and over and over. But the main reason is because a few weeks ago, I hopped on a call with Maureen and Heather from the Milk Minute podcast to ask them for help with my sleep situation at night. Specifically, I was asking how I can like deal with his insatiable need for boob at night.
Right. Okay.
So they very graciously gave me a ton of advice, which was actually aired in an episode that will already be out by the time this episode airs.
Oh.
Our listeners need to go listen to that episode, episode 145 from January 27th, 2023. So they can be prepared, because next week we are going to have a special crossover extravaganza with Heather and Maureen, where they're going to come on and hear how I did with my new sleep adventure, trying to get Sebastian off the nighttime boo-boo.
Okay, so you heard their advice, listened to their advice, tried it, and we're going to get the update on our show next week.
Exactly. So everyone go listen to episode 145 of the Milk Minute podcast, and we'll link it in the show notes, of course. And then we'll reconvene next week.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
So Augie's check-in. He is so close to being four. He's like 3 days away from being four at this point. And he has been out of school now for like 2 weeks for the holiday. And my check-in for him this week is about how much that's fucking him up, basically.
Oh, no. Why? Just because he doesn't have the stimulation and the social interaction?
Yes, 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 yes. All of it. All of the above. It's all just, it's the lack of routine, too. You know, like, we've been trying to do stuff like getting him out of the house in the morning and trying to make play dates and stuff, but there's just not that same level of interaction that he's getting at school. Mm-hmm. And it shows. I mean, first of all, he is telling us, like, almost every night before bed this week, he was like, is tomorrow a school day?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And I'm just like, oh, no, honey, do you miss school? He's like, I'm like, OK, well, we'll try to see some friends. Well, you know, we did like 2 play dates, but it's tricky because everyone's traveling or seeing family.
Yeah, it's a hard time.
Yeah. No one really has time to get together. So we've done, like 2 play dates, and that was good. That was good to get him out. But even those, he was a little bit discombobulated, you know, because it was like, I think both kids were at this one play date we went to. We went over to his little friend's house. The same one that I talked about a few months ago, who came over and jumped on the nugget before Augie, and Augie like had a meltdown about it. Do you remember that?
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that same friend, we went over to his house this time by request, like by Augie's request, I should say. Augie said he wanted to go to his house to play with all of his toys. And so that's what we did. But when we arrived, his little friend was also super discombobulated and all over the place. And he didn't want to come out and play for like...
Aww.
It was like a good 20, 30 minutes. Augie just did not care because he basically had the playroom all to himself and just...
Oh, he was there for the toys.
He was there for the toys, yeah. But then his friend finally came out and they were having fun. And then there was a meltdown when it was time to leave. You know, the friend did not want us to leave. And it was, you know, I could tell that he also was missing school, you know, and his parents too. His mom and I were just like, get these kids back in school already.
It's such a long break. I have to say, that is the exact opposite reaction of my girls. They
really?
Oh, yeah. They're just like, don't want to go back to school. Every day, Cece's like, is it a school day? Like, just with so much apprehension.
Oh,
like,
no.
She's just waiting for me to be like, nope, still a holiday. And oh, yeah, she's loving her home time, 100%.
I mean, he likes being home. He likes watching all the TV we've been watching because Lord knows that's our crutch when he's home. But sure. Yeah, he misses his friends. And, you know, it makes me feel good that he likes school so much. So that's good. Mm-hmm. The other thing he's been talking about is swim class. So they shut down the swim school for the last 2 weeks because of the holidays. And he keeps asking when he's going to go back to swim class. And so
I know. Cool.
I know. But I can't wait to get him back in school for various reasons. One, because I know he'll be happier, but also, like, you see it in his behavior. Like, he's just not getting enough interaction with kids and not getting enough stimulation. And that's leading to, like, more meltdowns and harder time with bedtime and waking up in the middle of the night, I think, because he's not tired enough, you know, before
right.
bedtime. And so, yeah, it's the whole thing. But next week he goes back. So
Yay.
He doesn't have long to wait.
Good.
And yeah, that's it for my check-ins this week. Shauna, I want to hear what's been going on with you guys. Your girls enjoying all the home time.
They are. So last week I was talking about how I was really in the holiday spirit and excited about mm-hmm. Christmas. And I loved Christmas Eve and all of that jazz. And it's a really good thing I got all of that celebration and joy in, because Laura, I ruined Christmas.
Okay, I know what you're going to talk about, and you didn't ruin Christmas, but will you please let our listeners know what you mean when you say that? Like, I'm not even going to let you own this as ruining Christmas, but will you please tell our listeners what's been going on?
Yes, of course. So that Christmas Eve, I started getting a little tiny sore throat, but my energy was great, so I wrote it off. But Christmas morning, I woke up and I was like, whoa, I definitely don't feel right. And before the kids even saw a Santa gift or open anything, I took a COVID test and I was positive.
Would you say it lit up like a Christmas tree?
It truly did. It was brighter than my Christmas tree. It lit up so fast. Like, that line came up and I was in the bathroom and I was like, fuck, and just started crying. And
no.
Unfortunately, the girls heard me, and like all day Cece was like, that word you said, but
oh,
that word you said. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I was really upset. So, yeah, that really derailed the day.
Yeah, it would. I mean, so obviously I know about this because this was not something you could wait a whole week to tell me about.
Oh, I think I texted you immediately.
Yeah, you sent me a text message. It was like, look what Santa brought me. And I was like, I was like, fuck, no, Shauna, what? And my first question was, Cece's music recital, ?
That little recital I talked about on last week's episode, that jam-packed auditorium or whatever it was, with like 200 parents and kids, and no one was wearing masks. However, I was, but they served refreshments, and I just can't resist a free cup of coffee, apparently. So I would lift my mask occasionally to sip some coffee and eat a quick snack. And I guess that's all it took, because within 2 days I was feeling symptoms. So yeah, it just,
That's such like a gut punch on Christmas morning to see that.
Right? Like, I've held out for almost 3 years. I haven't
yeah.
gotten it, right? Just to get it on Christmas morning.
Oh my gosh. I know the irony. So, okay. So you tested positive. I know Steve is very cautious with COVID and very mm-hmm. Risk averse in that respect. And so what
oh,
did
yeah. He didn't lift his mask at the recital to drink coffee, right?
Yeah.
I was the reckless one that did that. So yes, you're right about Steve.
I have to interject that, like, I know that you feel like you were reckless and that you put yourself at risk and all this stuff. And I'm like, it's not like you just had bad fucking luck to be the one to get COVID.
No.
Because did anyone else in your family get it this week?
No. I was the only one.
Was Cece wearing a mask that whole time? No, I know she wasn't, because she was on stage singing,
oh, yeah,
which is
yeah.
like one of the more dangerous things you can do. But she didn't get COVID. Like, it's just
yeah.
dumb luck. You probably sipped your coffee the moment that like someone walked by, or
yeah.
whoever put the coffee cups out or something had COVID. Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm just, it's, I think you really need to get rid of this narrative that it was somehow your fault, because it really wasn't.
Yeah, I do. I'll work on that.
Okay, so good, because I don't want you to feel like you're to blame, because you're not. It's a virus.
Thank
People
you.
Get viruses all the fucking time. I mean, Cece gets viruses all the time. Do you blame her?
No, I don't. Exactly.
Of course not.
Okay. Okay.
You're not like, oh, you're talking to your friends at school? How could you? You're going to get a virus. Okay, so
risky.
So knowing that Steve is very sort of nervous about COVID and whatnot, how did you guys handle this as a family?
Good question. Well, obviously, I was like, I don't want to miss out on Christmas, like the present opening. And like, I worked my ass off to get ready for that morning, right? Like weeks of getting wish lists ready for the kids so everyone could get them great gifts and me buying them perfect gifts. And, you know, just all of this stuff. I didn't want to miss out on it.
Yeah.
So I was really, really happy that Steve was like, put on a mask and come out and enjoy the present opening. So that's what I did. I put on a KN95 mask. I put on a mask and went out and watched the girls open their Santa presents and their presents from us. And I opened gifts and all that. And it was really good. I was really happy I could be there with them. And I could see that Steve felt nervous, but he was doing a good job, like kind of quelling that anxiety so that I could be part of the morning. But then after a couple hours, I honestly started getting really tired. And I was like, I think I need to lie down. And I went and took a nap for a while and woke up in the afternoon and went outside with the family and watched them scooter on their new scooters and stuff. And I could, you know, have a little more space from them. And that's like all I participated in the day. Like I was in my room for Christmas dinner, like the whole dinner we had planned. We were going to do a big Christmas dinner. His mom is here. That got derailed. I think like he heated up hot dogs for the kids or something.
Oh, no.
And I just like was in my bedroom alone and started just isolation so that no one else in the family would get it. So all this week, I have been alone in my bedroom. And it's been rainy.
Yeah.
And dreary, and lots of stuff is closed. So the family's not really going anywhere. So it's not like I can come out of my room and be in the house. I can't really go outside because it's rainy and freezing. And so I'm feeling a little stuck and a little like going woo woo.
Yeah, that's brutal. Like being isolated is it's like a punishment. Like solitary confinement is a severe punishment that I think is illegal in a lot of countries.
I know. I mean, luckily I have my luxuries, my TV and my iPad. I got a new iPad for Christmas. So, you know, like that stuff and the family's bringing me meals and drinks, but it's weird. It's really weird. I can hear life going on without me outside of the bedroom. The girls are playing with their new toys. They got iPads too for Christmas and they're just like playing on their stuff and FaceTiming their friends and playing board games that we got them and they're giggling and I'm just like, no one needs me. No one needs mama. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's not good for my mental health being stuck back here, especially during a very celebratory time. So it's been a super weird, hard week.
Man, last year you had no Christmas cheer and this year you were all ready for it and you got the rug pulled out from under you. Man, that sucks.
I know. Thank you. I know. It's a bummer.
So how do you feel though? Like you're now, are you at the end of your isolation? Like, is it over? What's going on?
My isolation is over. Like I've been able to come out, but
that's
I'm still
good.
Testing positive. So I have to wear a mask. Fun fact, I've got some weird allergies and I think I'm having some kind of allergic reaction to this mask I've been wearing. Like it's
KN95
mask that I got on Amazon, you know, something.
Yeah.
Because my whole face is like super duper itchy, like to the point I can't control it with any over-the-counter medication.
What?
Yes, but my COVID symptoms were like okay, like they weren't bad. They were like mild-ish. I felt sick, but now like my COVID symptoms are kind of gone, but I'm having this like reaction that I can't control. I'm just a miserable mess, basically.
Oh man, worst Christmas ever.
Ugh. I was lamenting to Steve, like, you know, oh, I ruined Christmas, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, not for the girls. They're having a blast. So, you know, so I'm like, okay, it's still all that work I put in has made the magic for them. So that's good.
Yeah, it totally did. I mean, and in like you know, true mom fashion, you get to be invisible. It wasn't you. It wasn't that you busted your ass for months to try to make this work. It just magic just happened. See, mommy isn't even around. It must be magic.
Bringing the magical childhood.
Oh man, that sucks so bad. Well, I'm glad you're starting to feel better, except for this weird allergic reaction. And I'm really annoyed that you're still testing positive. Like, what the heck?
I know. I'm hoping that it's gonna get better soon. It's a faint positive, so I think it's on its way out. I think I'll be better in a couple days, but I will update you next week.
All right. Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you on Christmas week, Shauna. Like, you did not deserve that. And you did not ruin Christmas. Maybe your own Christmas got ruined, but you didn't ruin it. COVID ruined it. Fuck COVID.
Fuck COVID. That's the refrain I've been saying since March 2020. Fuck COVID.
Seriously. Fuck COVID, man. Ruining things since March 2020. We should make a shirt.
Yes,
COVID. Ruining things since March 2020.
Well, you've got your Cricut, so get on that.
That's true. I can make it on my Cricut. I will say, though, that I am really grateful that you and everyone in your family had the vaccine and the boosters.
Yes.
So that, you know, I'm sure that made a huge difference in how many people got sick in your house and how severe your illness was. So better to get it Christmas 2022 than Christmas 2020. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. 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 There's a lot to be grateful for sure.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, should we move on to our special segment?
Indeed. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. All right, we are back, and our special segment this week is What the Hack, where we share our favorite parenting hacks to help make your life easier as a parent. Shauna, what the heck?
I'll tell you what the hack.
What's the hack, I guess, is what I should say.
Okay, I recently came across an article from DavidEpsteinMD.com. I believe he's a pediatrician here in the Los Angeles area. And there was an article on his website about how to put a Band-Aid on a finger.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, I need this information in my life.
You mean like the fingertip?
Fingertip. Because obviously wrapping the middle of your finger is easy enough. But when you try to do it on the tip, it's weird. It like comes into a weird cone shape and there's a piece sticking up, etc. And always the case with kids. So here is his tip on how to put a Band-Aid on a fingertip.
Please tell.
He says it's a quick six steps. And step one is...
Here, but this is going to make your life easier. Here's 500 steps.
Laura, step one is obtain a Band-Aid. Okay.
Okay. So, all right.
We're easing in here. Obtain the Band-Aid. Make sure it's small enough. Take scissors and you cut a little strip in each wing of the Band-Aid. Like not the adhesive part, but the wing. Like just cut into it. Can you imagine what I'm saying? So each little like wing of the Band-Aid is cut into two little like strippy wings.
So, but the part that will be sticky once you remove the thing, once you remove the backing.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
so
the very...
So the ends of the Band-Aid, you cut into a little, an X-Wing, if you will. That's a Star Wars reference.
I don't know that. I went silent. I didn't know.
It's the one that looks like an X.
Okay. Yes. Okay, good. So once you've done this, your Band-Aid can somewhat resemble an X-Wing. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
The very difficult step three, remove the protective paper. Okay, so now it's sticky.
Okay.
Step four, apply the padding to the wound.
Mm-hmm.
Easy enough. And then you wrap the two upper flaps down and around so they kind of mold the finger. And then you can apply the two lower strips, whatever you want to call them.
Uh-huh.
So you can kind of like mold the Band-Aid better to the shape of the finger instead of having it stick out the top of your fingertip like a cone.
You're kind of wrapping it like a maypole, right? Like
around
both directions. Okay. All right.
Yes.
I can see how that works.
Yeah, so then you have a more secure Band-Aid on the fingertip that your child can chew off within 3 minutes. So there you go.
Well, before it was a 1 minute chew, so.
Exactly.
This is good.
Progress.
Amazing.
So there you go.
Do your kids ask for Band-Aids for every little injury?
Every, especially Cece. I mean, she will just like, I don't know, tap her fingertip on a chair, like walking past it and be like, I need a Band-Aid. I really, I think I need a Band-Aid. And usually I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I agreed. I'm just like, okay, sure, whatever. Here's the Band-Aid. I mean, we keep like Target in business with those Welly Band-Aids.
Oh, we do Paw Patrol Band-Aids here, but same.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good hack. I'm going to try that next time if I can find any scissors in our damn house. That's what should be step one. Find some damn scissors.
Yes, find some damn scissors. Yes, okay. I will email Dr. Epstein and let him know to amend his list. All right, what's your first what the hack?
I wish my hack was like how to keep scissors available in your house, because I don't know, they like have legs they walk away on, but I have yet to figure that one out. So my first one is it's so simple but so effective. It's could barely be qualified as a hack, but I've started doing this recently and it's been helping a lot, which is Augie has been getting into puzzles lately, like finally in my mind. I've been trying to get him interested in puzzles forever and he's like had zero interest. All of a sudden very into puzzles, which is great, except for the puzzle pieces kept getting like lost, and they love the puzzle boxes and they love to open the puzzle boxes, but they don't necessarily want to play with the puzzle or put it together right that moment. And I have been finding puzzle pieces everywhere, right? Like under the rug and behind the couch. And it's just been a problem. So the last few puzzles I've gotten, before I've given them to Augie, I have gotten an appropriately sized Ziploc bag and put all the puzzle pieces in the freaking Ziploc bag and then put that into the puzzle box.
Ah, smart.
And it's just like, why haven't I been doing this all along? Because it's the easiest way to keep them all together. So yes, Ziploc bags for your puzzle pieces. Do it now.
That's really smart. A lot of the puzzles that Elle has are just a board with the puzzle pieces. Like, it's not even a box. I don't know if you guys have like board puzzles, but she has a ton of those. Like, you can buy a pack of Melissa and Doug board puzzles.
Sure.
And so there's like no way to store those puzzle pieces unless the puzzle is fucking put together.
Oh, geez.
And then you lay it flat in a holder or whatever. So we've definitely been using the Ziploc bag for puzzle pieces for a while. And also marking the back of the puzzle pieces with some kind of either some indication of what puzzle it goes to. Right? It's like ABCs, because that's part of the ABC puzzle, because our puzzle pieces get all fucking mixed up too. And then I'm spending my life like trying to organize puzzle pieces, and then I give up and just throw them in the trash. So it's just a whole thing.
Yeah. That's a good tip. We have gotten these like boxes of little like 12 piece puzzles, you know, real starter puzzles, and they have the markings on the back so you know which puzzle goes with. It's like four puzzles in one, right? But I should do that with the ones that are coming in, because you know, you could even use like just markers, like the red is this one and purple is that one. Okay.
Just a quick swipe or an X on, you know, in a certain color. Love that idea.
All right. Awesome. Okay. What's your next hack?
My next hack is kitchen related.
Okay.
And it is use a pizza cutter for everything that you can, basically. I love pizza cutters, and I use them obviously for pizza. And then if I make quesadillas or like cheese crisp for the kids, instead of trying to cut it with a knife, it's just like zoop, 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 cut it with the pizza cutter. And I recently came across a TikTok where the mom is like, why cut up pancakes with, she said scissors. I'm like, I've never cut a pancake with scissors, but okay.
Me neither.
She's like, why cut pancakes with scissors when you can use a pizza cutter? And I was like, oh my God, that's genius, right? She's just like, shoop, 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 cutting it with a pizza slicer. So that's amazing. And then I was like, oh my God, you could also use it to like cut off the crust of toast, right? Just like shoop, 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 or like sandwiches, shoop, shoop, shoop. So I love the pizza cutter. Definitely have one in your kitchen if you are a mom.
Amazing.
I think so too. All right, Laura, what's your next hack?
Okay, so you've reminded me of something I've been doing for a while that I think I've forgotten to talk about. So when you mentioned cutting off crusts, I have been saving my crusts in the freezer. Ever since I saw someone suggest this, I think on like a Trader Joe's Facebook group, actually, like they were like, oh, do your kids not like crusts? Save all those crusts in the freezer and then you can like make stuff with it later.
What in the world do you make with old crusts?
Let me tell you. Okay, so I started doing this and you immediately realize how much waste there is. Oh my God. Like fill up a big gallon plastic bag so fast in our house, like, because we make sandwiches for Augie like every day for school. So that's right. A lot of crust.
Wait, I have a very important question.
Uh-huh.
Do you cut the crust off the bread before you make the sandwich? Because I'm imagining crusts full, like having peanut butter and jelly and like mayonnaise and turkey bits in them all thrown in the freezer.
Well, first of all, mayonnaise and turkey bits don't exist in our house. So it would sure. only be sun butter and jelly if it was anything. Oh.
Okay.
But we actually do cut off the crust before because I've been freezing them. Although mm-hmm. there are recipes for people if you have peanut butter and jelly crusts. Okay.
So got it.
What we've done, I've done two things. So we do a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches with sourdough. And then we do a lot of like peanut butter and jelly and sun butter and jelly with wheat. And with the sourdough, I actually saved my crusts for a couple months doing this, not even like a whole year, a couple months. And I end up being able to use my sourdough crusts to make all of my stuffing for Thanksgiving.
What?
Yeah.
I ate crust stuffing for Thanksgiving and I didn't know it?
And you didn't know it. You didn't
wow.
know it. Well, and it's actually perfect because that's what you're supposed to use for stuffing. You're supposed to use like the leftover bits of bread, right? Like it's not supposed mm-hmm. to be your finest loaf of bread. You know, it's uh-huh. dried out old bread.
Right.
And so let me send you a picture, actually.
Okay.
I sent you a picture of all the stuffing cubes from my leftover crusts.
Okay, let's see. Holy shit, that's a lot of bread. That is a lot of crust. Wow, that would all go into the landfill or compost or I don't know where.
Exactly. And I would have had to buy like a whole additional loaf of bread to make my stuffing, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, and the stuffing was good, right?
Oh, it was so good. So good. Ugh, yum, yum, yum. All right, that's a hot tip.
Yeah, and then with the wheat toast, what I've done is I take them out and I toss them in melted butter, cinnamon, and sugar and throw them in the air fryer. And they uh-huh. turn into like crunchy cinnamon sugar sticks.
Ooh.
Or actually, you air fry them and then toss them in the cinnamon and sugar, right?
Okay.
And Augie eats them. So like that just uh-huh. goes to show how delicious they are, right? Like,
uh-huh.
granted, they are covered in sugar and cinnamon, which are two of his favorite things. But like, he's averse to new things. So I didn't know if he would actually eat it. But he did. Mm-hmm. And it takes like 2 minutes to make, too, which is amazing. So, yeah, I'll just take a handful out, toss them in butter, throw them in the air fryer, and then coat them in cinnamon and sugar. And he can help me, right? Like, that's another thing we can do together is he can, like, toss it in the cinnamon and sugar. And, yeah, fun little snack.
That's so cool. I love it. I love that he's, like, secretly eating the thing he once rejected. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. No idea. It's the crusts he wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole otherwise. And if you Google it, there's like actually a whole subgenre of people who create recipes just for crusts, like leftover crusts. So
wow.
like people do leftover crust French toast sticks mm-hmm. and stuff. So yeah, definitely check that out.
Bread pudding, I imagine.
That's what I think I'm going to do next. I think I'm going to make some bread pudding.
Super smart.
Okay, so hit us with another hack.
All right, Laura, my next one is a Shauna special. It's something I came up with on my own to manage the lack of responsiveness in my kids and doing shit. I think I have one of these every time we do a what the hack. I'm like, if you can't get your kids to do shit, try this. So here's my new one. It's always about getting ready to go places, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
Getting them dressed, getting them in the car, getting them in their car seats. Here's my new one. I don't know how this came about or why exactly this works, but, you know, we've done like beat the song or like, mm-hmm. you know, can you do this before I count to 20 or something like that. The new way is a change of wording a little bit. Like this started with Cece. I was like, I wonder if you can get your pants on before I count to 3. I don't know. Just make up a number, right?
Yeah.
Or I wonder if you can get your pants on before I count to 100. And for some reason, it's the I wonder wording that super motivates her. Like I cannot tell you how quickly, like in a flash, she wants to get it done immediately, almost before I even start counting. And then I'm like, oh my God, you're so fast. What? I didn't even get a chance to start counting. And she's like laughing and so proud. I thought this was a one-off. No, this has been working for like, I got to knock on wood here because I'm going to screw myself by saying
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but please okay. share, because even if it stops working for you because you jinxed it, you're going to help so many people.
I hope
by
so.
Sharing this.
I hope so. It's worked for us for like 3 months now.
Wow.
And Elle is on board with it. I think it's the combo of using the wording, I wonder. And mm-hmm. then the like sensational praise that they've done it so freaking fast, right? And I usually like lollygag with counting and getting there so that they can do it really fast. I wonder if you can put on your outfit before I count to 50. One. What comes after one? Oh gosh, what comes after one? So then the counting kind of like waned a little bit with the motivation. Then I mm-hmm. realized they love it if I say, I wonder if you can get in your car seat before I spell car seat. And then I'm like, oh my God, what letter does car seat start with? Oh my God, you're already in your car seat. Holy smokes, you're amazing. You're so fast. So yeah, just kind of playing with that and turning it into a little game where they are kind of racing me in a way mm-hmm. and feeling motivated and happy and proud of themselves when they've accomplished the task.
Okay, I'm 100% trying this tonight and I will report back because that's
genius.
I hope
so. I hope it works for you. I feel like so many of my little things that you try don't work quite as well on your kids. But I've got all my fingers and toes crossed for you for this one because it's fun.
I don't know. I have a sense. Augie really likes a race. So this is a race, but we're not pitting him against anyone. So I like that.
Right.
So I'm going to see.
Right.
Okay.
What you got for us? What's next?
Okay. So my next hack is a blatant use of sort of scary brand new technology.
Uh-oh.
So have you heard about ChatGPT?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Steve, loves this and is off having conversations with ChatGPT about things. I'm like, who are you talking to? He's like, oh, ChatGPT. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't fully understand it. I'm not going to lie, but I do understand what it is. But do you want to briefly explain in case listeners aren't clued in yet?
Sure. So ChatGPT is a brand new artificial intelligence chatbot, right? That was put out, I want to say like a month or two ago. 2 months is almost too far. It's like a really recent thing put out by a company called OpenAI. It's completely free to use. And basically, it's a AI chatbot, right? And mm-hmm. the thing that's scary about it is that it's fucking good, right? Like, it's very good at talking to you and coming up with stuff. And if you're curious, just do a Google search for ChatGPT and you can find it and use it, or you can read the 5 million articles that have been written about it, about how either it's like the most amazing technology we've ever seen or it's the downfall of society.
It is pretty amazing what it can do.
It is. And there's a lot of implications and like scary implications for writers and stuff, you know, like there's a lot of nuance there. But I'm here to tell you how you can use it for parenting.
Yes. Give me all the tips and tricks.
So I have not fully come up with, like, I'm sure there's a bunch of different ways you can use it for parenting. But here is one thing I did recently, which was, next week for Augie's birthday week, we have to like go into his classroom and do some activities, right? Like go in and read books with him. It's like he's the kid of the week because it's his birthday and we go and like do stuff, right? And parents have been kind of one-upping each other about like what they do for their kid during the, during the week. There was like a sports day for one kid where they brought in like basketball hoops for the kids to shoot hoops, and Augie came home with a little plastic trophy with his name on it.
Oh my gosh. LA parents are so extra. I love it.
So extra. Another parent sent like a balloon artist to school, and I was like, look, I'm not paying for anything. Like,
right.
We're on a budget here. Also, like, I don't want to engage in this like one-upmanship. But I do want to do something super fun and interesting for him. And his little friend had his week just before the break, and his dad did something really fun, which is he did like life-size Candyland. for the kids.
That's where amazing.
Yeah, he just put like colored, different color construction paper on the ground as like the squares. Mm-hmm. And he had them like roll the dice and then they were the players. So it's like, okay, you got purple, like advance to purple or whatever. You got two green or whatever. I don't know. I can't remember how to play Candyland. Anyway.
Yeah, you move along the colors. Mm-hmm.
So we were like, oh, that's fun. Like a game. That seems like a cool idea. And Corey and I were talking about it and we realized like Augie's really into like treasure hunts and being a detective or searching for things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh, what if we do a scavenger hunt in his classroom?
Oh, fun.
And so we've been brainstorming ideas like, oh, OK, so they'll find a clue like in the kitchen area and then they'll find a clue on the wall and then we'll find a clue like in a book. And Corey and I are like, man, we're going to have to write these clues. Right. And then I said, do we have to write these clues or can artificial intelligence write it for us?
Brilliant.
Can I read you a clue or two that we came up with?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a toy that's oh so fun where a tasty treat has just begun. Pizza in a cozy place. Just look and find. It's not hard to trace.
Wow. So what did you feed the AI that it spit out that specific thing?
Okay. So for that one, I said, write a 4-line rhyming clue for a scavenger hunt for preschoolers that leads them to a toy oven with a pizza inside without using the word oven.
Okay.
That's what it came up with.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so it wrote all the clues for us. I think I changed a word here and there. But it saved me so much time, Shauna. And I only feel a little bit guilty about it.
It's just hilarious to me that you have a master's degree in writing and you're like, fuck writing. Like, just let this AI bot do it for me.
Corey is a professional television writer, Shauna.
Well, it's like you don't want to take your work home with you, you know?
Yeah, so we outsourced our parenting to AI and it worked great.
That is amazing. It reminds me of literally what Steve and I did last night with it. I was like, oh man, Elle's birthday is coming up, but I have been completely overwhelmed by Christmas and COVID and all this stuff. I haven't even thought about like what to do for her birthday. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. I was like, oh, ask ChatGPT what we should do for her birthday. And he asked, I don't know what exactly he put in, but it spit out a huge list of like birthday party ideas. And it's good for brainstorming is what I will say. I don't think we're going to use any of those, but it's like science party, cooking party, baking party, robotics party, like just a bunch of ideas. I was like, a baking party. I never thought of that. That could be fun.
Was there overthrow humanity party? Oh, wait, what?
Oops, sorry. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it's good for brainstorming, too.
Awesome. All right. So do you have another hack for us?
I have one more, but should we take a break and come back with it?
Oh, you know it. We love doing that. All right.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and Shauna has one more mom hack for us. Okay, so Shauna, enlighten us. What's your next mom hack?
All right, my next one is one I saw on TikTok recently. I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but you better believe I'm going to try this at the next chance I get. This is from a user named Erin.Monroe_. So you can go follow her if you want more tips and tricks or whatever she does on TikTok. I love this so much, especially because I'm a theater person or was in a past life. She says that if you're having a hard time getting your kids to do something they don't want to do, all you need to do is put on an accent and talk to them in an accent. And I love it. She like uses the example of an Arnold Schwarzenegger accent. She's like, I'm working on that one. Okay. And then she's like, my kids will do anything if I talk like Aunt Kathy from Staten Island. And she throws like a Minnesota accent in there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how fun for me, first of all, right? Like making the conflict more fun. And then maybe it will actually like motivate them. I think the reason it might work is because it's something different that catches their attention, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, why is mama talking in a Southern accent or whatever I might do? But I am going to give this a try and I'm going to work on my repertoire of accents to use.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this could be a rabbit hole. You could just have a whole cast of characters to get your kids to do various things.
Oh,
I mean, it does
yes.
seem fun. That sounds really fun. It reminds me of when I used to pretend to be Blippi when Augie was like, I don't know, 2.5 or something. And it would totally work to get him to do things.
Show us your Blippi voice, Laura.
I'm a little out of practice. It's like, hey, kids. Oh, that's cool. Let's go brush our teeth. Let's walk silly that way. Let's go. I mean, it kind of, it's like a mix of like Barney and, I mean, really, it just made me realize that Blippi just rips off like Pee Wee Herman and Barney. But
oh, yeah, it's like a mix of Pee Wee and Barney or like Barney on, I don't know, Coke or something.
You're assuming Barney wasn't already on Coke.
Good point. Good point.
Why is he so cheerful all the time?
There's got to be something bolstering him.
Okay, I'm going to try this, though. It's nice to know that it doesn't have to be Blippi, right? Like you said, it can be just a character you come up with.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm going to start working on this now. All right. Okay, do you have one last hack for us?
I do. So this is also something I found on TikTok. I'm actually going to send you the video so you can watch it because it is a good one.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go.
So, Shauna, do you want to report on this TikTok?
Oh, I love this so much. This mom says, my 2.5-year-old recently told me that pooping on the potty is dangerous and I cannot have that. So here's her solution. She hired a grown man to dress as Spider-Man and give him a pep talk about pooping on the potty. It looked like she used Cameo to do this. And she shared the video of Spider-Man. And he's like, hey, buddy, I'm here to tell you that pooping on the potty is safe. It's good. This is what I do. It's good. It feels good. It's just going to slide right out. Oh my God. I am dying. That is so brilliant. I bet that worked too.
I bet it worked 100%. This is like the next level of the hack you just talked about, right? Like instead of you putting on a voice, she like straight up went on Cameo and hired a Spider-Man impersonator to help her kid out. And that, I mean, talk about a mom hack, you know?
Yeah.
And in like Googling this before our segment, I discovered that in addition to like the real life people you can get on Cameo, Cameo just launched something called Cameo Kids. Have you heard of this?
No.
They're like computer generated animations of various characters, including Blippi, I might say. And apparently, so you get like a cartoon version of a Cameo for your kids, but it's powered by AI. Mm-hmm. So they're like AI generated. I'm sure that they like filter what happens. Like, it's not like they just send out things with weird, you know, nonsense or something out. But yeah. But it's computer generated, right? So like, it's not like the actual guy who does the Blippi character is having to record cameos all day. It's a computer. So, but they have JJ from Cocomelon. They have like all the Cocomelon kids. They've got Blippi. They've got Thomas the Tank Engine. They've got someone called True and the Rainbow Kingdom, which I'm actually not familiar with.
Oh yeah, we know that show.
And Santa Claus. And they are $25 to $30, which if your kid is having a really, really hard time, I could totally see getting actual Thomas the Train to like tell them, you know, things are going to be okay for $25.
Yeah. You know? Give them a little pep talk or a birthday wish, or there's a lot of things you could use this for.
Totally. I think the birthday wish is the really common one. There's all these really cute videos of like the kids getting their cameos. So, yeah. So that's like a bonus onto this hack is like get a cameo for your kids to get them to do shit or just wish them a happy birthday.
I just can't get over the thought of this actor playing Spider-Man receiving the ticket for this request. Right. It's like, tell my son that pooping is OK. He committed. He went for it. I'm really impressed.
I agree. I'm curious how much that would cost. Let's see. I'm searching regular Cameo for Spider-Man.
Okay, I want to know too.
Oh, wow. There's a lot. Okay, there's a couple options. One is $5.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure the quality you're going to get. I have a feeling these probably pop up and then get taken down because Marvel's probably like, no, thank you. But for right now, yeah, there's a couple on there. So there's also a French Spider-Man if you speak French. So
there you go.
But yeah, that's actually my last hack. And I think that it might be time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
All right. This was a fun segment, but it's time to move on. We wrap up every episode with our weekly Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives. Laura, you're up first, and I want to know, do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
All right.
And it's just basically my family visiting. Like, I don't have, like, one specific BFP. And sort of to narrow it down a little bit more, it was my brother and Erica visiting for a whole week.
Jeff and Erica. Love them.
Jeff and Erica and their dog, Rumi, which is their baby. They came to visit. They stayed in a Airbnb nearby with their dog because Rumi and the cats are not friends. But it just, we had so much like quality time together, which was awesome. It was just so fun to see my brother with Augie and Sebastian, but especially with Augie. Like, my brother and Augie are like two peas in a freaking pod.
Really?
They're so similar. Aww. Yeah. And he just loves my brother. Like, I mean, Uncle Jeff is the Funkle for sure. Let me just send you one picture that sort of encapsulates how they feel about each other.
Okay.
Okay, here it comes.
Oh my gosh. Jeff is sitting on the couch or ottoman, holding Augie on his lap. Looks like they're both transfixed by maybe a television, but the closeness between them is so heartwarming. I just love it.
They love each other so much. And that was just, I'm just so happy that they got to spend that time together, because we FaceTime a lot and try to talk a lot, but nothing beats one-on-one time. So,
right.
So yeah, that's my BFP. Shauna, this week was a doozy of a week for you. And I would not blame you if you had a BFN, but I'm going to ask you if you have a BFP or a BFN.
Well, you know, I do have a BFP, actually.
Oh, good.
So all of this alone time, you know, you kind of get bored of watching TV. Like, I mean, just there was a lot of screen time, obviously. Like, I binged so many shows. I played games on my phone. I read books. I listened to audiobooks. I did all this stuff. But one activity on my screen rose above the rest.
Hmm.
I got a new iPad for Christmas. My old one was great, but the kids took over it a couple years ago and destroyed it, right? So I haven't really used an iPad in a long time. And the reason Steve got me that iPad of several years ago is because I like drawing and art and stuff like that. And I was like, there's an iPad app called Procreate that I see people drawing in. And I think that would be fun. So several years ago, he got me an iPad and Apple Pencil. And I think that's when Cece was a newborn. I was like, that's a sweet, ambitious gift that I never got around to using. Cut to 2022, Shauna in isolation. I was like, oh, Procreate, right? So I got out my Apple Pencil and I opened up Procreate, and I've been taking tutorials on drawing. I like to draw cute things and colorful things. That's my thing. So I've been taking tutorials on how to draw like cute kawaii style art and like colorful landscapes, and starting to create some of my own stuff in there. And it has been so fun. It makes the time pass in a, you know, more creative way than just watching a show or something. And it's been super duper fun.
I love that. I have been stealing Corey's iPad here and there to try to practice with Procreate, because I don't have an iPad of my own right now with an Apple Pencil, and Corey has like the iPad Pro. And so I've stolen it a few times. I installed Procreate on it, and I've played around with it, but I haven't had as much time to really practice. But it's a really cool app. Like, it is so powerful. It's kind of shocking that it's not more expensive to me, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It's like $12.99 for the app. And then a lot of creators sell brush packs and, you know, different things. You can add different types of brushes and everything. And there's tons of free tutorials online. Like, I've got my favorites now that I'm following on YouTube. Here, let me just send you a couple things I've drawn.
Yeah. I also should say that you are just much better at visual art stuff than I am. Like, I would love to be a person who could draw really well. And like, this is not a skill I have at the moment. I'd love to take more like drawing classes and stuff like that. But like, I've seen, you know, you have like canvases around your house of paintings you've made in the past and stuff. I'm always impressed.
Yeah. I took several art classes in college. I always loved drawing and doodling as a kid. It's just something I have not like really committed myself to, I think, because I'm afraid I'm not good enough or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's a really enjoyable hobby for me. So I'm going to try to stick with this more as the year continues. All right, let's see.
Shauna, look at this pineapple. You drew a pineapple on a surfboard with cute little eyes and smiling, and it's got little hands up in the air. It's catching a wave. Oh my God, it's so cute.
Thank you.
This is adorable.
Okay, I sent you a couple others. These are my originals. I've got a whole folder of like stuff I drew following along with tutorials, and then I took that inspiration and what I learned and tried to make my own stuff. So the three I sent you are originals that I did.
I mean, that's amazing. First of all, also, do you know about like the pineapple being a symbol of IVF thing?
I don't. I've heard of pineapples being a sign of like couples open to swinging.
Also that. Yeah. Also that. Yeah. No, but apparently pineapples are also an IVF thing. I think it's because you get poked a lot with needles.
Okay. Well, that resonates. The pineapple I actually drew because I was showing Elle and Cece like what I've been working on because I'm out of quarantine now. I was showing them and they're like, draw something else. I was like, okay, what should I draw? And Elle was like, draw a cute pineapple. And so that's where I started with that. But amazing. I love that coincidence.
Okay. Snail mail. This is an adorable little pastel purple and pink snail just smiling coming out of an airmail letter from France, from Paris, France. Adorable. Mm. Ooh. And then you've got like a very cute, bright color Arizona desert landscape with very pretty cactus blossoms and saguaro. Is that how you say it? Saguaro.
Saguaro. Mm-hmm.
Saguaro, yeah. Cacti in the background. I am loving this, Shauna.
Thank you.
So jealous of your talent. This is so cute.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really happy that this passion has been reignited and I'm excited to like learn more skills on this. Let's just hope, Laura, that I will make the time to continue this, right? It's like, I don't want to let it go because it was really enjoyable to do these things. So maybe instead of just going straight to the TV every night in 2023 after the kids go to bed, I might take a little hour to sketch something up and enjoy myself.
Or you can do it while watching TV. I mean, that's another thing.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's not like Top Chef takes that much concentration to watch. Oh my gosh. All right. So that's it for me.
And I think that's it for our show.
It is. But Laura, do you have a 5-star review to read?
I sure do.
All right.
This is from Benjamin Besser on Apple Podcasts. The title of the review is Best Podcast to Grow With, 5 stars. I found the pod when I was pregnant with baby number 2 in 2021 and listened to Shauna and Laura on their journeys with Augie and Cece. I love listening to them because their motherhood journeys are so relatable. My kids are almost 3 and almost 1. And my hubby let me borrow his account to write this review since I don't have iTunes. Can't wait to see what you cook up next. Lila. Oh, thank you. So now we know it's Lila because I was that was a long username. Lila, thank you so much for stealing your husband's phone so that you could write that review.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Listeners, and that's a good reminder. If you don't have an Apple Podcast account, borrow someone else's and you can leave us a 5-star review. I love that idea, Lila. So if you haven't done so yet, please do us a favor. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review and say a few things you love about the show. We appreciate that so, so much. And if you have any hacks that you want to share with us, you know we want to hear them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, just send us a contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com, and you can throw a voice memo in there. We love those. Finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you just have to answer the 2 membership questions when you request to join. And then once you answer those questions, you'll be sent straight through to the amazing, wonderful, like hilarious conversations we're having in there. There have been some really funny posts lately.
Yes, loving that group so much. And don't forget to listen to episode 145 of the Milk Minute podcast so you can be caught up for next week's BFP interview with Maureen and Heather. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.